Years ago, I read a story that was written by a World War I soldier. He was a believer. He was a Christian, and he was in the trenches in France. And one of his fellow soldiers was mortally wounded and was crying out just before he died, "Could somebody please tell me how to be saved?" And he said, "I lived with that all of these years. I didn't even know how to tell him how to be saved." And it seemed there was nobody around him in the trench that could tell him how to be saved. As he was dying, crying out, "Could somebody please tell me how to be saved?" I believe the most important thing that we should learn after we become a believer, after we become a Christian, is to learn how to share the gospel with others. And I've used this particular plan mostly for the last almost 50 years. There's a little acronym there that might help you if you're witnessing to people that you don't know much about or know nothing about. Maybe you're going door to door, knocking on doors, and somebody invites you in and you sit down with them to share with them. You want to get to know something about them and get to make them feel comfortable with you being there. Most people, the F stands for, let me get my, I forgot about the clicker. F stands for family. Most people are interested in their family. Some people have don't have a very good experience with it, but anyway, it's something that you can open a conversation about. Maybe people, you say you got a young couple. Do you have children? Or just opening a conversation. Maybe people, older people, or are you retired? Or are you still working, etc.? Just some icebreakers to kind of get to know them. And then the second thing, the O stands for occupation. What's their job? Most people, if they're not retired, are you retired? If it's an older person, you might be asking these questions. Or, where are you employed, et cetera. So you're just kind of getting to know a little bit about them and breaking the ice and making them feel comfortable with you. And then the R stands for religion. And here's where you're asking the question after you've gotten to know them a little bit. Well, when you were growing up, you might ask this question. When you were growing up, did you attend church? Did you and your family attend church? And so you're just finding out a little bit about them to know where they stand. And then at that point, here's the point in which you will probably want to ask a couple of questions before you go on to the next one. The M, of course, stands for message. But before you get into the message of actually sharing the gospel, then you need to ask some questions. Maybe they have revealed to you in their under the R something about them. But you might ask a question. I've often asked this question: do you know where you'd go if you were to die today? Or do you know if you were to die today or tonight, would you go to heaven? You might ask the question, has there ever been a time in your life when you knew that you were a sinner and that you repented or you turned from your sins and you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Some appropriate questions that you might ask. And then if you discover that they do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you would ask them this question: could I take a few minutes and show you from God's Word how that you can know that when you die that you're going to heaven? How to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? And if they say yes, then you would go into the next thing. You might say this. You'll say, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. And if you don't mind, I want to share with you the bad news first. And you go to Romans. I always begin in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, not verse 23. We go to that later. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 3 says that there is none righteous. No, not one. Not one of us is righteous. then the next thing you might quote this and say, there's no unrighteous person. The Bible says, you don't have to give them that reference, but you could just say, the Bible says that there's no unrighteous person will inherit the kingdom of God. And that you might be showing them, it's really a good thing if they allow you to let them see the scriptures, or oftentimes, if they're willing, I've even asked them, you can read this for yourself, or I'll just show them, point out the scripture, and so they can see it for themselves. No unrighteous person. We've got a big problem here. It says there's none of us righteous. That means me, that means you, that means every person in the world is unrighteous. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 then says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ is God's glory. What's the problem, honey?
You skipped.
Did I skip? What did I skip?
You went too fast.
There. Romans. Back? Okay. The unrighteous. Oh, I'm sorry. I had it in my notes, but I didn't. Well, yes, ma'am, but it's further ahead, huh? Okay. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ is God's glory, and He is the only perfect person that ever lived, God's Son, Jesus Christ. And we've all says that we've all sinned and we come short, or your version may say we fall short of the glory of God. It literally means that we miss the mark. To fall short means to miss the mark. And the idea here, the picture is an archer shooting at the target. And the bullseye is what he's shooting for. And we've all fallen short of the bullseye. You may have only missed it. You may have got in the ring next to the bullseye, but you missed the mark. You might have got in the third or the fourth circle, but you missed the mark. You might say something condescending like this, or like me, I missed the whole target. So you're seeing, we all miss the mark as sinners. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark. The bad news, this is out of order for some reason. Anyway, how did it's bad news? How did we become sinners then? That's where you're moving from Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23 to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Okay? How do we become sinners? The Romans 5 and verse number 12, you can look it in your Bible. It says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death has passed upon us. We became sinners. We inherited a sin nature from our fathers. Going all the way back to Adam. You're pointing this out. We inherited a sin nature from that's how we became sinners. Adam was the first man, and Adam disobeyed God, and he sinned, and he passed a sin nature onto us. Every one of us is born with a sin nature. You know, they may have a little child, and you said that little child was born with a sin nature, and sooner or later you're going to see it'll come out. It comes out of all of us. It's going all the way back to Adam. Goodness. You know how you set this up. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. Sin brought physical death and spiritual death. me just back up and give you a little theological lesson. You don't need to do this when you're witnessing to somebody. But wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin into the world, we inherited the sin nature from him, from our fathers. Did you know you got your sin nature from your father, not your mother? Now, your mother was a sinner because her father was a sinner. We're all sinners. That's the reason Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He bypassed a human father. He had a heavenly father. So he had an earthly mother, but she didn't pass any sin nature to him. He didn't have a sin nature. His father was God. Our father, but I would say, I've often used this, just to play on words, but you're a sinner because your father was a sinner, not because your mother was a sinner, although your mother was a sinner because her father was a sinner. Okay. Death came to sin, physical and spiritual death. Physical death is separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. That's what physical death is. One day we're going to die. They may put our body in a grave, but our soul and spirit was separated from that body. And that's physical death. If you really want to know, and I pointed this out here, I thought this would be a good follow-up because, matter of fact, the Lord laid this on my heart when Brother Jim was sharing last Wednesday night on making Christ known. And I thought this would be a good follow-up. But if you want to know when death, we don't know exactly when the spirit leaves the body, but you could go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and you can see that that is physical death when the spirit leaves this body. I don't know. You may say, is that person dead, this brain dead? I don't know. I don't know if the spirit's still there or not. There's been a few people that have woke up after they said they were brain dead. So that's physical death. But you don't have to explain all that. That's when it occurs, though. And this body dies because we have sinned. We've all sinned. Spiritual death is separation from God spiritually. What it means to be dead in trespasses and sin, it doesn't mean that your spirit was a corpse. It means your spirit was separated from God. And it must be reconciled to God, to be made alive when it's reconciled to God. Romans 6 and verse number 23, you just share the first part of that verse at this time. You're still building on the bad news. The Bible says here that the wages of sin is death. Wages are what we earn, what we deserve. That's what we earn or what we deserve for being a sinner. It's death. Physical and spiritual death. Spiritual death brings the separation from God. And if we die, still having been separated, never having been reconciled to God, then we will experience what the Bible calls the second death. You see, we're appointed unto man. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. God doesn't appoint anyone to the second death. The second death, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, is what? It's the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Here a few weeks ago, Brother Jim taught on that. But a person that dies, never having been saved or reconciled to God, will experience the second death. I've been saying this for 40-something years. If you're only born once, you're going to die twice. If you're born twice, if you've been born again, you'll only die once. That's not original with me. The first person I ever read after that said that, and that was in the 1800s, was D.L. Moody, the evangelist. I've used that often. Almost every funeral that I preach, I quote that somewhere as I've shared the plan of salvation. If we're only born once, we'll die twice. But there's some good news. Now, that was all bad news. That leaves us all in a very bad place. So here's the good news. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says that God loves us and that Christ died for us. It says, for God commended His love, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad that God butted in? But God commended, showed, demonstrated His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, and this is important. The wages of sin is what? It is death. We've learned that back in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, the first part of that verse. And what did Christ do for us? According to this verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what for us? What did He do? He died for us. The wages of sin was what? It is death. In other words, Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. That's what we earned, that's what we deserved, and that's what He took on Himself. And He paid the price for my sins and for your sins. That's good news, isn't it? The second part of Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did we earn? Earn wages or something that we earn. But God offers us a gift, a free gift, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, Jesus is the only way to heaven. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, the life. I am the way, not a way, not just a way of many ways, but I am the way, the only way to God. The only way to get to heaven, the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so you must receive God's gift of eternal life. Do you know there's only two things that you can do when someone offers you a gift? You can either receive it or reject it. You say, but preacher, you'd be foolish to reject a gift. How many of you ever rejected a gift? I mean, somebody bought you a birthday gift. You said, nah, I don't want it. But you know, people do reject the most precious, priceless gift that's ever been offered and that is still offered. And that's the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You've got to receive the gift. How do we receive this gift? Well, I use this verse as well. I'll quote a couple of verses from John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He came into His own. Jesus came into His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, gave He power or authority to become the sons or the children of God. And you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, He makes you one of His children. And how do we receive the gift? We receive it by faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we'll be saved. Believe in our heart, then we what? What did verse number 10 say? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. What did Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 tell us? There is none righteous, no, not one. No unrighteous person is going to go to heaven. How do we become righteous? Our big problem is, how do we become righteous? We believe in our heart. We believe to become righteous. You know, Brother Jim taught through the book of Romans not long after we came here. And I remember, you know, we spent a lot of time in chapter 4 of Romans, and it talking about that we're justified by faith. It is by believing. It's simply by believing. It's not by works. We believe in our heart. That's how we become righteous. We don't just acknowledge with our head. We have to believe in our heart. You know, I've often said a lot of people is going to miss heaven by this much. Frankly, I can't ever remember a time when I did not believe that the Bible was the Word of God. I've been taught that all my life. I can never remember a time when I didn't believe in my head that Jesus was the Son of God. I can never remember a time in my life when I didn't believe that He died on the cross for my sins. But you know, I went over 16 years before I ever believed that in my heart. And that made the difference. It really made a difference. It made an eternal difference. It made a difference in my life. It gave me something. Something happened that Sunday morning I'd never gotten over. Amen? Believe in your heart. That's how we become righteous. That settles our unrighteous problem. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Romans 10 and verse 13 then, how do we receive this gift? Romans 10 and verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That means you, Michael. Aren't you glad he didn't put Michael there? Because the world's full of Michaels. You think there's not another J.L. Weaver? There was one that lived in my community when we lived at Pleasant Plains. And they cut my power off instead of his one time. I'm glad they put whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how do we call? We call believing. We call by faith. We're believing in our heart, not just acknowledging in our head. We're believing in our heart. Most of you have heard my testimony of salvation. My mother led me to Jesus Christ one Sunday morning during an invitation. She didn't go through the Roman road. I knew all of that from the time I was a child. I knew all the facts. I believed it here, but I'd never accepted it here. When she saw, she liked to sing, but she didn't sing during invitation time as when I was growing up. I remember always seeing her head bowed praying. And I knew she was praying for her kids. She had 8 children. I still remember the night that my little sister, the last one in the family, was saved. Mom and Grandma Sharp were pretty conservative people, but they got happy that day. But she came to me. She saw that I was under conviction, and she looked up from her praying and saw me. And she came to me. She put her hands on my shoulders and looked into my eyes. And she asked me this question. She confronted me. And she asked me this question. She said, "Jay, won't you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today?" And I looked at her and said, "Yes, Mom, I will." And let me tell you something. Something happened that I had never got over. You know what I did? I had believed in my heart. I said yes to Jesus. I will. I trust you. And so you believe it in your heart. That's how. And you're calling on the Lord. You need to come to the point then if you brought them to this point, you need to learn how to draw the net, I call it. You can see if God's dealing in the heart of the person. And I was asked him the question then, would you like to receive Jesus, trust Him, and call on Him and ask Him to save you right now? They say yes. And, I just asked a question. Would you admit that you are a sinner? The Bible tells us we're all sinners. You admit that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, personally died for your sin? Do you believe that in your heart? And then will you call on Him and ask Him to forgive you and to save you as you turn from your sin? And you must say you're calling out of your heart. You can call out. They can call out verbally. You may lead them in a prayer. They may just pray on their own. But here's the thing. The key is they're believing in their heart. Would you just bow your head and ask Jesus to forgive you and to save you as you turn from your sin? And they may pray audibly, or they may just be as I did, if you will, pray out of your heart. That's the key. We've all got a problem. We're all born with a sin nature. We've all sinned. We've all missed the mark, some of us more than others, but we've all missed the mark. And we're all unrighteous before God, before we trust Jesus. And He makes us righteous when we trust Him, because He gives us His righteousness then. And He's perfect. And then when God our Father looks on us, He sees His perfect Son. And all I can say is hallelujah. I told you we'd get done early. You was all frightened because of this long outline. But mostly it was just filling in words. Here's an evangelism program that requires no organization whatsoever. I got this from Dr. Fred Luter, who pastors Franklin Avenue Baptist Church down in the 9th Ward in New Orleans. He was the first black Southern Baptist convention president several years ago. But Fred uses, in his church, they use what he calls frangelism. And there's an acronym again. If you want to fill out the little acronym below it, the people that we can share the gospel with, we can, with friends, share the gospel with your friends. Can you imagine your closest friend, heaven without them? Or even worse, imagine them forever in hell, in the lake of fire. experiencing this second death. And then the R stands for relatives. We've all got relatives. Share the gospel with your relatives. I've got nieces and nephews. I've got great nieces and great great nieces and nephews. Many of them I've never met, but I pray for them. And I get good reports from my oldest sister some nieces, and then now great nieces as their children, especially this time of year when they're going to church camp, and not every year some of them get saved in church camp. But anyway, we've all got relatives. Can you imagine heaven without them? And then the other one then is associates or acquaintances. Maybe the people you work with. And then, of course, the N stands for our neighbors. We've all got neighbors. Get to know your neighbors. I know we live in a culture today where people want to come home, drive the car in the garage, and shut the door. Get to know your neighbors. They're a person for whom Christ died. You say, but my neighbor's cantankerous. Jesus loves them. And you need to love them too. I made a mistake of telling some of my neighbors when I got first moved to Jacksonville that I was a retired pastor. I shouldn't have ever told them that. But anyway, we've all got people that you can do that without an organization. You can be your own. Just follow that. That's a good plan. Questions on any of it? Yes, ma'am.
I don't have a question, but I have something I want to share with you tonight.
Uh-huh.
Ever since I found out I had cancer almost 2 years ago, I had the Bible verse, I know the plans I have for you. And I would share that, and I would share that, and you just put it on my heart that I needed to share the part of the plan of salvation in addition to the plans he has for my life right now. And I want to thank you for listening to God and giving that message to me.
Yes, you're quite welcome. Any other questions? Nobody's going to ask the question, well, what do you do if they say, I'm not ready? What do you say? I just simply quote them the scriptures. I say, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. God doesn't promise us a tomorrow. Today. Anyway. And how many times I've heard that, and how many times maybe you've heard that as you've witnessed to people, I'm just not ready. We ministered in Bradford for 6 years. When we first moved there in August of 82, one of my next door neighbors lived across the street from us. We call him Woody. You'd see Woody sitting up in town. Old man. Get up, I get down. But he'd be sitting down, leaning up against one of the store buildings on the sidewalk. See him every day. Friendliest old man you'd ever meet. I would go over and talk to Woody and share the gospel with Woody. How many times he would say, preacher, I know I need to get saved, but I'm just not ready. You're not young anymore. You've heard this expression, you've got one foot on a banana peel and the other in the grave. He's smiling at me. And I said, I'm afraid I'm going to come over here one day, Woody, and I'm going to find you dead. We lived there about 2 years in rent house there, and that rent house burned, caught on fire while we was at church on Wednesday night. And so we had to move. And Woody, I didn't see Woody much anymore. A couple of years later, his nephew, that I had been his pastor when I went on my first pastor, called me and said they found Uncle Woodrow down by the freeway dead. He'd been there several days. Would you preach his funeral? I said, yes, Keith, I will. Now, I don't know what happened between the last time I talked to Woody and he said, preacher, I know I need to get saved, but I'm just not ready. And when they found him down by the freeway, I don't know. I hope he turned to Jesus. He certainly knew how. But I still remember standing in that cemetery out by Denmark and preaching a graveside service, and his family gathered around, and some I'd never met before. And I told the story about Woody. And I said, I don't know where Woody is. I don't know what he did between the time. But I said, you don't have to end up like that, I said. Well, after the funeral, they had a meal at one of the relatives' house, and they invited me to come. And I led 4 family members to Christ that afternoon after the funeral. They came to me and wanted to show them how to be saved. If there's some dying soldier or some dying soul somewhere, whether they're crying out, will somebody show me how to be saved or not, you need to show them. Aren't you glad you can go into a hospital room where a person is on their deathbed and you've got something to offer them? The gift of eternal life if they'll receive it. Let's share it with our friends and our relatives and our associates and our neighbors. Just share the simple gospel. Yeah, I think this particular plan, to me, it covers all of the points of the old gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. You have to believe. Again, like going back to this, you have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Not that he just died for your sins and paid the debt, but that he raised him from the dead. And I think it covers all the points. It covers the problem with our unrighteousness and how we become righteous. And just leading people to call on the Lord out of their heart to be saved. No questions? Got it all down? If you don't already, some of you may exactly know you could go through this. You wouldn't need an outline. You wouldn't need anything. But I encourage you to learn it well enough. You can just take those notes and learn it well enough and go over it well enough and sit down with your wife or sit down with your husband. And one of you play loss and you ever play the soul winner, until you can just get to it. You can do this, and you can do it without an outline, and you that little form might help you to start conversations with people that you don't know. And anyway, hope it'll help. Well, y'all come Sunday morning, only got 3 points. So we will be there longer than we are tonight. Anyway, no object. Anyway. Well, thank you for listening.